John Shellark, Veal 10.
It was pretty difficult because obviously we were supporting each other quite a lot in the months we were there. And then to lose him and being alone. At the same time, then I myself was getting run down. But it's difficult in one way, but perhaps it's a relief in the other that you were together. It is a very difficult situation. I've been given in Buchenwald the complete shipping list of our group that finished up in Bochum. And, well, as far as I can make out, I'm the only survivor of that group. But there were about half a dozen father and son people. Since none of them survived, it's difficult to sort of compare or what, even if you would know where they are. In the circumstances, me being the only survivor anyway, that one doesn't sort of come out anywhere.
And you were saying what a low ebb you were just before liberation. Yes. Did you face the fact that you might die? Did it
scare you? I mean, not only now, but I think even then. I don't think I was in the sort of the physical shape where one would, what should I say, consciously think. Yeah, I was on the very end, probably slipping in and out of comas and that sort of thing.
Also, throughout your experience, you know, since the ghetto one, you haven't said a lot about the kapos or the guards. Did you suffer much in the way of brutality or humiliation from them?
Not all that much. One had to be careful where one was walking, because a lot of the problems one faced with kapos, SS, whoever were around, is being within their arm's length, literally, because if they were that close, for no reason at all, they may well just hit out with a rifle or a stick or whatever. Conscious maltreatment happened. It didn't happen in my case all that much. When it happened, it was usually when in the works you found some sort of cloth or whatever to protect you, and it was reported that you used that cloth. You weren't maltreated or physically maltreated in the factory itself. It was a report back to the camp. And not more than once, but on one occasion I actually got flogged. But, you know, it happened to people quite a bit. In that one respect, the factory was keeping clear of maltreatment, consciously or otherwise. What they have done you got reported and you got your things coming to you, whatever it was, when you went back to camp. Your ration may have been cut. You may have been flogged or whatever.
Were you working with civilians in the factory?
Not that many. Yes, there were civilians there. And there were three types of civilians, if you like. Four types. There were quite a number in the supervisory jobs. Not just supervising us, but in supervisory capacity. Mostly supervisors were NSDA, VIP members, the sort of the civilian SS, if you like. As far as the workforce was concerned, the work I was doing or we were doing would not have been done in German in their right mind, voluntarily, if you like. It was too harsh work. There were various categories of what the Germans called Ostarbeiter. Some more voluntarily there than others. Some were promised and given better food ration or survival or what if they go into one of these camps. Some were just roped in from the street. The next category down, if you like. The work they were doing, partly at least, and depending on where in the hierarchy they were. Jews were right at the bottom. Some of the sort of semi-voluntary people who were going there for rations had a better treatment.
Any idea when you were actually doing your slave labour work in that area, how much the German population could have known of what was going on in that area?
They must have known a hell of a lot, because in Bochum, where I've done most of my slave labour, there were some 30 or 40 similar establishments. They may not have been as big, but there were that many. And people from the different camps in the sort of pajama suit type prison garb were walking through town in the morning, coming back in the evening with the submachine gun SS escorting them with submachine guns. So they couldn't avoid seeing them. I mean, I was in a camp compound, so I didn't mix with the outside population as much. But there were quite a number of factories, a large number of factories actually in Bochum, some 50, which employed slave labor or used slave labor. And they couldn't avoid seeing, well, they're not going to bed, they're in pajamas, or whatever you describe to these kind of suits. So they must have known that something is going on. I mean, how much detail I can't tell. On the other hand, if you take the example of my father's burial, yes, the SS had to report why they were buried. But everywhere else, people were, and I know it's a wrong expression, but quite happily buried in mass graves. I found out that the unnamed or unidentifiable cemetery superintendent took it upon himself that, well, we got these corpses, we buried them individually. And not only were they buried individually, but they knew who was in which grave. So afterwards, they could direct gravestones such as they are. Some are incorrect and all that, but nevertheless, one could go through all these things. And in fact, the SS officer who reported to his superiors that we had to bury these people because the crematoria was bombed, he even gave their grave numbers. So it couldn't have been regarded as a capital sin to do this sort of thing. So the usual excuse, we didn't know what goes on. One way or the other doesn't hold water.
They must have seen the state of the bodies. Did you ever receive compensation for the labor you
performed? No, there are things in progress at the moment on compensation. One can only join what are called class actions now because the deadlines for individual claims has gone actually quite recently. When I was last in Bochum, this contact of mine said that the deadline is in a fortnight's time, which was has passed now. And to get documents together and all that needs far longer time to do it. But one can still pursue it as a class action in the States. In fact, it looks better now than it did before, because any of the German firms which had money deposited in Switzerland can be pursued that way. So my line of attack, so to say, is two-pronged. I have been given a very small amount of compensation some 30 years ago. That was simply for having been to Auschwitz or something like that. It's not time spent or what. It was a small sum paid out. Whether I'm sufficiently needy or not, there's also another line that particularly needy people can pursue some of the things through Swiss claims. I'm just not interested in that.
Well, John, thank you very much indeed for telling me not only about your Holocaust experience, but all these other things as well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you.